Welcome to today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. This production is also available at recordinglibrary.org and on the telephone reader by calling 432-617-5555.
Quick hits. Party. First Odessa Worship Ministry has scheduled Hello, Old Friends, Roaring Twenties Party at 6:15 p.m. Wednesday at First Baptist Church, 709 North Lee Avenue. There will be food, games, photo booth, and music. Queen of Hearts. The Midland West Rotary has scheduled Queen of Hearts benefiting vocational education in Midland from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Saturday at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. The event includes dinner, drinks, and dancing. Open enrollment. At Invita School of Design Thinking, 619 North Grand Avenue, Suite 200, has scheduled open enrollment for pre-K 3 and 4 through 8th grades beginning on February 17th. School begins August 19th. To enroll and or schedule a tour, call 305-9566. Guitar Festival. The West Texas Guitar Festival presents Gabriel Santiago on February 29th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland. Doors open at 6 p.m. For more information, call 800-514-3849 or visit wagnernoel.com. Girl World Expo. Girls World Expo is a day-long event created by local teen girls for local teen girls who have created a unique show from noon to 4 p.m. March 28th at the Midland County Horseshoe, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. The event will include seminars, fashion, an art show, performances, demonstrations, vendors, and more. Girl of Merit nominations are currently being accepted. Deadline is March 11th. Volunteer opportunities are available. Go online for more information or email mary@girlsworld-expo.com. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Eating late and weight gain. Dear Dr. Roach, does eating late at night make you gain weight? M.S. Answer. There is a myth that calories eaten late at night are somehow more important than those eaten at other times. Eating late at night does not necessarily lead to being overweight. It remains how much you eat and how much you exercise that ultimately determines weight gain or loss. However, there are patterns of eating that are more associated with unhealthy eating and with weight gain. Night eating is one that is commonly associated with poor eating habits. Nighttime eating may also be considered a specific eating disorder. In this group, with strict criteria for diagnosis, treatment with an antidepressant led to 2.9 kilogram, over 6 pounds, of weight loss in overweight people with nighttime eating. While not everyone with nighttime eating will gain weight, many people choose poor foods late at night, which tend to make weight gain more likely. There's also good evidence that late-night eating is not good for dental health. So, if you are going to eat late at night, choose healthier foods and practice good dental care. New firefighters receive OFR badges. More than 50 people attended the OFR badge pinning ceremony for 8 new firefighters Monday at 1:30 p.m. in the Central Fire Station truck room. Fire Chief John Alvarez stood in front of a fire truck thanking the friends and family of the firefighters and talked about the history and hazards of the job before the badge pinning of the new members. Alvarez said that the new firefighters will be joining a bigger family at OFR. We could simply not be here if it wasn't for those who came before us, he said. The 8 new firefighters lined up to get their badges pinned by friends and family. After the badges were pinned, Alvarez shook hands with them and handed them their ID badges and helmets. The majority of the helmets had the word rookie across the top. Eric Castillo, 21, of Odessa, had his father, David, pin his badge on. Eric is from Odessa and graduated from Odessa High School. He said that he'd been waiting for this moment for a while. He was hired about a year ago as a cadet, and before that, he was working retail. I've been waiting a while for this, he said. I'm finally able to go on. His father said that it was a proud moment for him. He's been a firefighter for the Midland Fire Department for 22 years and didn't expect his son to follow his footsteps. I didn't push any of my kids to do anything, he said. I just let them find their own way. I'm surprised, he told me, he wanted to do it, he said. I was really happy, and I really wanted him to, but I just didn't push him towards anything. Russell R.J. Tranum, 23, from Wichita Falls, worked for OFR for a year as a cadet while he went through training. Before the academy, Tranum was a high school agriculture teacher in Bryant. Josh Martin, 27, born and raised in Odessa, has spent the last year working as a cadet for OFR. He went to Odessa High School and worked in the oil field before joining OFR. Miguel Puente, 30, is from Midland and graduated from Midland High School in 2007. He worked at OFR in 2013 and for the Midland Fire Department for a period of time. After that, he went to work in the oil field, but returned saying he needed something more stable and a job to take pride in. Peyton Adams, 20, is from Lubbock and went to Friendship High School. For the next year, he will be on the job doing quarterly trainings. Dan Corey, Rocky Adams, and Evan Gaw also received their badges. Chief Alvarez said it's a good time for OFR to get new firefighters. The good thing about these guys is that they went through the cadet program. It took them almost a year to finish the fire academy and the EMT school. My hope for them is that a year from now, I'll bring them back and they'll get their firefighter shield, and that means they're doing the right thing, he said. Ector County Law Enforcement Center, inmate found dead. A 65-year-old man was found dead at 11:56 p.m. Friday at the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. An Ector County Sheriff's Office press release detailed that Antonio Vella Mendoza, Jr., 56, hung himself from a commode partition and was found unresponsive by jail staff. Jail staff reportedly attempted CPR before Mendoza was transferred to Medical Center Hospital, ER, where he was pronounced dead at 1:03 a.m. The Texas Rangers will be conducting the investigation, and the Texas Commission on Jail Standards was notified, the press release stated. Next of kin were notified, and the body was sent to Tarrant County for an autopsy. Obituaries and death notices for February 4th, 2020. Joe Charles Sparks, Odessa. Joe Charles Sparks, 85, of Odessa, left this world to join the Lord and his wife Peggy on Thursday, January 30th, 2020. He was born October 5th, 1934, to the late Maureen and C.E. Sparky Sparks. Joe was preceded in death by his mother, Maureen Sparks, his father, C.E. Sparks, his wife, Peggy Jo Sparks, and his granddaughter, Sally Green. Joe is survived by his 4 daughters, 3 granddaughters, 2 grandsons, and 10 great-grandchildren. Visitation is 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday at Baum Carlock Bumgarden Funeral Home. Funeral services are 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 5th, 2020, at First Baptist Church of Santo. Interment will be at Santo North Cemetery. Condolences may be left at www.bcbfuneral.com. bomb-home.com. Baum, Carlock, Bumgarten Funeral Homes. Antonio Villa Mendoza, Jr., Odessa. Antonio Villa Mendoza, Jr., 65, died Saturday, February 1st, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. John Roy Stedman, Odessa. John Roy Stedman, 63, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 30th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Frances Ellen Drain Camden, Odessa. Frances Ellen Drain Camden, 76, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 30th, 2020, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February 5th, 2020, at Crossroads Chapel. Burial will be at a later date in Donovan, Missouri. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Hello, this is Becky. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. This is the education section. Jennifer Siebert, Young Women's Leadership Academy. YWLA is an inspiring, empowering campus. Apply Midland is a new platform used in Midland ISD to apply for a school of choice, magnet school, or a transfer to a new school. It is also the platform used to re-enroll if your student is currently at a choice or magnet school. If you are interested in applying for a choice or magnet school, applications are now open and will stay open until February 29th. During this time, you have opportunities to check out at MidlandISD.net/apply the different options that Midland ISD offers. If you are interested in one of the newest options in MISD and what I think is the best option, you can join us this week for tours at YWLA. We are also hosting an event, an evening event, come and go from 5:30 to 7 p.m. today. If you have a motivated, driven student who will be in grade 6, 7, or 8 next year, please consider applying for the Young Women's Leadership Academy. I am sold on what we do at YWLA. I am inspired. I am empowered. But I am not a student. For this, I want you to hear directly what two students wrote about YWLA. Sumi Schwartz and Dalen Bounds are two extraordinary students who wrote the following when asked why YWLA is Midland ISD's best campus. As students, the urge to find a place that could teach us important life skills, college and career readiness, and expand on advanced topics has always been strong. We could only dream of the perfect school that would be more of a home rather than a school, a place we could actually walk in every day feeling happy and encouraged, not scared and constantly worried and stressed. We could only dream. This entire school was a big dream for us. There is no such way this school campus will excel our expectations and empower our academic excellence, we thought. And out of all the schools and experiences we have been through, we won't be surprised or astonished if this school has just the equivalent uncomfortableness, bulkiness, and noxious environment. We also felt like this school wouldn't be able to compare to the previous schools we've attended, but when we arrived, we were mistaken. The minute we walked on campus, you could feel how the atmosphere was lifted, and it was such a great experience to feel. The greeters at the front always gave us a warm welcome, and they made sure that our day was going to be amazing. As you walk up the steps, you could feel the happiness practically illuminate from the building, and it didn't change one bit when you walked inside. The teachers all had a huge smile plastered on their face, and none of them looked the slightest bit dreadful or miserable. The other students looked overjoyed to be here, just as we were to be in such a comfortable and easygoing environment. That day, our classes consisted of lots of first introductions, and it made our day a lot better, and we were never wishing to leave. The following months at YWLA never felt a day differently or any less than the first day we came. Every single day, the smiles and gratitude never changed. The amazing respect, organization, and overall attitude never alternated or reversed. That's just the atmosphere, not even bringing the academic determination and glorified method of education of YWLA into the picture. YWLA stays with you and ensures that you understand the topic before moving on to the next one. Here, the teachers are determined to make sure you understand the schoolwork while still having fun and enjoying it yourself. It's crazy and incredible how determined and purposeful the teachers are, and they never stop wanting to help and teach you, taking every step carefully and offering extra help. They take time, perseverance, and love to make sure that everyone knows that they can be independent, known, and understood. We've always been scared to let ourselves shine, whether it be a test, an interview, or just a presentation in general. We have always struggled to let the real us shine. Day after day, we try to fit in and be accepted by those around us. Those days have passed. They are non-existent. Those days, those feelings, they are unseen and unheard of because of YWLA. You are accepted as yourself. Everyone fits in and is accepted because the peers and staff members let everyone shine in their own way with the motivation and support they need. In fact, the peers, the teachers, the office ladies, and even the cafeteria ladies, they aren't just people that we have to see every day. They aren't just people we don't have a choice to see or communicate with. We choose to be accepted and welcomed by our family because they are the closest to a family that we have ever had at a school. YWLA opened us up, and that's something we will forever be thankful for. We never would have thought such an amazing opportunity would also come along with such a marvelous family. Overall, YWLA isn't just a school that students have to stay at for 8 hours a day, with teachers that would rather be somewhere else, and peers who dread to achieve. YWLA is an accepting family that has and will go above and beyond for others to know that you can learn and have fun while still being in a safe environment and bewildering atmosphere, all while knowing that even despite the struggles and baggage you may be going through at home, you can still return to a welcoming, accepting, loving family the very next day. And that is every single day at YWLA. Jennifer Siebert is a principal of Young Women's Leadership Academy. Trinity students create glow-in-the-dark museum. Hundreds of vibrantly colored objects have been strategically placed to contrast the blacked-out walls and ceilings for Glowtastic, a student-created exhibit at Trinity School. Paige Gates, Director of Visual Arts, said the project began when she and co-worker Melissa McCabe decided to do something different from the traditional Egypt Day exhibit that the school outs on each year. Instead of the typical ancient Egypt exhibit, they planned to do a glow-in-the-dark Egypt exhibit. However, she and McCabe decided they wanted an even more interactive and immersive museum, and ancient Egypt will not be incorporated in this year's display. Eighth grade science students worked with third graders to make glow-in-the-dark lightsabers. The chapel has a large bin of glow-in-the-dark ping pong balls, which spell out J-O-W. The middle school's innovation class has created glow-in-the-dark blocks and games for guests to play. A geography class painted a world map, allowing visitors to place a glow-in-the-dark dot on the place they are from or the favorite place they have been. Gates said the children at the Rhonda G. Durham Children's Enrichment Center, which offers pre-K and before and after-school care, painted a northern light scene, a subject they are currently studying, and students can put glow-in-the-dark stars on the scene. Some science classes are learning about sea life and have created a scene at sea with information about the species and organisms. Spanish classes have created piñatas to hang. Photography students have taken photos and painted them with glow-in-the-dark paint. And art students have made sculptures from recycled material and painted famous pieces. One student has painted Van Gogh's Starry Night onto her guitar. There will also be paper cranes and paper chains. Gates said the entrance will look like Meow Wolf, an immersive exhibit based in Santa Fe, with glow-in-the-dark trees. There will also be a tunnel for guests to crawl through. Photography students did face painting on Monday, and Iowan School music students will play their instruments in the exhibit during their class times, Thursday and Friday. The reason we wanted it more interactive is because they'd usually just walk through and be done, Gates said. I want them to think about it, touch it, look at it, and be totally immersed in the education part of the exhibit. What's glow in the dark? It's interdisciplinary, completely. Hello, this is Becky, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020, the Dear Abby section. Dear Abby, fear keeps jittery driver from getting a license. Dear Abby, I'm trying hard to let go of my paralyzing fear of driving, which has prevented me from getting a license. I'm not sure why I get so nervous and afraid when I get behind the wheel. I really need a car to get my family and myself around. I just wish I knew what was causing this. Could you please help me figure it out? Fear of driving. Dear FOD, gladly. The quickest way to get to the bottom of what's causing your fear of driving would be to discuss it with a licensed mental health professional. If possible, one who specializes in treating patients with phobias. Your physician or your health insurance company should be able to refer you to someone who is qualified. Dear Abby, a few months ago, my wife and I invited another couple over for dinner. The husband was on his phone the entire time, showing us YouTube videos he apparently thought were interesting. After dinner, he lamented that he had run out of data and wanted us to provide our Wi-Fi password so he could continue watching his videos. I begrudgingly gave him access, but was really irked by it. Isn't it rude for a dinner guest to ask to use your Wi-Fi? Not so interested. Dear not so interested, it was not rude to ask for your Wi-Fi password. In some circles, it's normal. What was rude was for one guest to monopolize the conversation the way that dinner guest did. I'll bet it will be a long time before you invite that couple again. Dear Abby, I need help dealing with a neighbor problem. Diane and I have been neighbors for 5 years. We both have daughters in elementary school who ride the bus. At the bus stop, Diane always manages to point out something about my daughter or me that makes me uncomfortable. She'll ask things like, "Are those new shoes? I like that jacket. Was it expensive? You have a new hairdo. Did it cost much? Or, wow, how can you afford such nice clothes for your daughter? Are those new jeans? How much were they?" I find her prying annoying and quite rude. Most of the other parents avoid her, probably because of this behavior. I work to afford the things I have, and I don't feel I need to discuss what I spend for my child or myself with anyone. Other than this, she's a nice neighbor. What's the best way to get her to stop asking these questions? I try to ignore them, but this has been going on for years, and I'm at a loss. Annoyed in North Carolina. Dear Annoyed, the surest way to get your neighbor to stop asking these kinds of questions would be the direct approach. Tell her questions of that nature make you uncomfortable, and to please stop asking. If she persists, repeat it until she finally gets the message.
This article is entitled "Gray Vows Changes If Elected. Veterans Seeking Congressional Seat Would Reform VA," by Bob Campbell. As a disabled veteran, Casey Gray has learned firsthand about veterans' issues and will take that experience to Washington if he wins the 11th Congressional District race. One of 10 Republicans vying for his party's nomination in the March 3rd primary and probable May 26th runoff, Gray said, "The Veterans Administration wants to pump us full of opioids and Dilaudid, but we need options and have not been given options. Most of the VA's drugs come from China, and they want to dump those on us and basically sedate us. I haven't had any pain medications in 2 years. I'm the only candidate talking about marijuana," said Gray, a 38-year-old Odessa native who graduated from high school at Bangs near Brownwood. All the other candidates have said they would block marijuana, but hemp has been licensed and is coming to Texas. Cancer patients and others needing pain management, epileptics, and veterans suffering with PTSD issues should have the option of using medical marijuana. Gray is also concerned about the U.S.-Mexico border security, the need for a wall, and reforming immigration policy. As a youth, he worked in an oilfield rig shop and in a variety of other jobs before joining the Navy and serving on two special boat teams with the SEALs. He also served in the Army, graduated from Ranger School, and was deployed to Iraq 4 times. Asked what voters are telling him, Gray said they're very positive. They love that after my service and injuries in a helicopter crash where I died and was revived, I'm willing to come back and serve. I didn't want to run for Congress, he said. This is something that I feel I have a duty to do. There is a lack of leadership in Washington, and we need people who aren't there for careerism or a paycheck. I want to go to Congress and make changes. Most congressmen get in there and believe they are above their constituents. They sit in an ivory tower. Gray has greatly enjoyed the experience of campaigning and participating in candidates' forums around the 29-county district. I don't give politically correct answers, he said. I give the direct, factual answers that people need. They'd rather have hard answers and solutions. Gray said he has developed cordial relationships with all the other candidates and has been so impressed by them that he would offer them jobs if he were elected. I love that people are willing to take their time and help me out, he said. I want to thank the taxpayers, who are in this case the employers. The candidates are the employees interviewing for this job, and this interview process has been absolutely amazing. I'll spend less than $50,000 on my race and will never accept lobby money. The last time I checked, District 11 was not up for sale. Monday is the final day to register to vote in the March primaries. Here are other important dates for this year's election. February 18th, early voting begins for the Texas primaries and ends 10 days later. Visit co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.elections for more information about Ector County voting. February 21st, final day to request a ballot to vote by mail in the primaries. February 28th, early voting ends. March 3rd, Election Day. This is the section called Quick Hits. Free Senior Tax Assistance. Free AARP tax assistance is being offered from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays from Tuesday through April 9th at the Northside Senior Center, 1225 North Adams Avenue. Call to make appointment at 337-5281. SHOW, the Midland Pop Spot and Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center has scheduled a Valentine's Pop Spot Show preview party from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday and Pop Spot from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday at Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. The event includes boutiques, custom smocked outfits for the kids, diamond jewelry, and more. Preview tickets are available at tinyurl.com/QKAFJVL. All ticket proceeds will be donated directly back to the Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center. Preview party tickets include access to long drink bar, raffles, MCRC Children's Fashion Show, and get to shop the show before anyone else. Go online for more information. On the net, tinyurl.com/SG4F3WC. Auditions. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled auditions for Concertmaster and for Principal Violin 2, February 24th, location to be announced. Application deadline is February 10th. Minimum requirements. Candidates must hold a degree in violin performance. Master's degree preferred. For application details, visit tinyurl.com/YH2FC5H9. For more information, email personnel@mosc.org. STEAM Festival. Harmony Science Academy, 2755 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled STEAM, Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, Math Festival, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., February 22nd. There will be student projects, a live wax museum, art show, fun hands-on activities for the whole family. Professionals of Odessa Lions Club will give free vision tests for kids, science demonstrations, and food. The event is free and open to the public. On the net, tinyurl.com/RO2JQEW. This article is entitled ECISD Completes Controlled Campus Access. When Ector County ISD asked voters to approve a tax increase in November 2018, it promised four priority projects for that additional money. One of those projects was the installation of controlled access systems for the main entrance of every school, which is now complete. On January 23rd, the controlled access hardware was installed on the main entrance at Nimitz Middle School, making it the final campus to receive the safety upgrade that was promised by the 2018 tax ratification election. This week, the system became operational, a news release said. All visitors must ring a bell outside and be buzzed in by an employee. ECISD is also installing the same security measure at additional doors in middle schools, at Odessa High School and Permian High School, and in administrative buildings. Three of ECISD's four TRE promises are now fulfilled, the release said. All employees received raises, the district got more than 40 new buses, and main entrances are now equipped with controlled access. The final project to be completed is a series of roof replacements and repairs. This article is entitled Local Poet Teacher to be Inducted. For the 84th year, members of the Texas Institute of Letters have decided on the induction of new members, and one of them is poet and Reagan Magnet Elementary School music teacher Loretta Diane Walker. New members will be inducted at the upcoming TIL annual meeting to be held March 27th to 29th in Georgetown. Other inductees are poets Cyrus Cassells, Irene Lara Silva, Emily Perez, award-winning playwrights Octavio Solis and Regina Taylor, a Golden Globe winner, novelist Glenn Blake, Kathleen Kent, and Natalia Sylvester. Best-selling journalists, editors, publishers, Nate Blakesley, Dan Goodgame, and Dan Williams, award-winning songwriters James McMurtry and Robert Earl Keen, environmental writer and editor Andrew Sansom, scholars Andrew R. Graybill and Emma Perez, children's and young adult author J.B. Jessica Powers, and photo historian of award-winning Southwestern Cultural Histories, Bill Wright. This article is from the section on religion. Abraham, Exemplar of Faith. Patriarch's obedience to God should inspire Christians, ministers say. By Bob Campbell. As the father of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, Abraham is a very significant figure who serves as the best biblical example of the importance and power of faith, ministers say. Ministers Janie Kelly, Tim O'Neill, Adam Elliott, and Don Kaywood say God renamed Abram as a symbol of his readiness to become a patriarch. Noting that God told Abraham to leave the land of Ur and go to the area that would become Israel, the Reverend Kelly said, Abraham represents following God's leading, even in uncharted lands. We have each walked through times when we had not yet come to a mature faith and would allow our faith to take us only so far. When faith comes to complete fullness and maturity, we follow God's leading, no matter if it seems reasonable or safe. Abraham is believed to have lived around 2000 B.C., and his story is primarily told in the 12th, 15th, 18th, 21st, and 25th chapters of Genesis. Then Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 in the New Testament says, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs, according to the promise." Even in their well-advanced years, God promised to give Abraham and Sarah a son, and said Abraham would be, quote, "the father of many nations," unquote, said Kelly, pastor of the Unity of West Texas Church. Referring to Sarah's choice of her handmaiden Hagar to bear them a son, Ishmael, Kelly said, "As time went by, they let fear and doubt take over and thought God had forgotten about them. So they took matters into their own hands. How many times have we become impatient and tried to help God? Instead of being patient, we attempt to force things to happen. But even in our doubt and temporary unbelief, God loves and blesses us anyway." The Reverend O'Neill said it was through the descendants of Abraham and Sarah and the bloodline of all Israel that Jesus would eventually come through. Abraham is an exceptional example of faith in that here is someone who hasn't had the son that God had promised, the refuge minister's pastor said. He is over 100 years old, his wife is in her 90s, and it's only a few years after they had Isaac that the Lord told him to go sacrifice his son. There was no hesitation. He got up the next morning and went to go do it. They were on their way up the mountain when Isaac asked, "We have wood, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "The Lord will provide a sacrifice," believing God would provide an alternative. He was to the point of bringing the knife down into his son when the Lord sent an angel to stop him and provided a ram instead. O'Neill said the patriarch of all patriarchs is a stellar example of how we are to be obedient with all the things God gives us in our lives, our families, finances, and health. "This shows the level of obedience we should have," he said. "Trust God for everything and use everything we have for the Lord." Elliot, co-minister of Downtown Church of Christ in Midland, said Abraham is very significant because he is where the vine starts. Citing Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, where God tells Moses, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob," Elliot said. Jesus uses this analogy in John chapter 15, verse 5, when he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We look back and see that incredible picture where God is going to save his people, Elliot said. Abraham's choice is to step out in faith and follow God into the unknown is the major starting point of the story of reconciliation and redemption. Then God makes his covenant to redeem mankind. Kaywood said, "Abraham is the father of our faith, so that makes him the progenitor of living by faith." Those of us who belong to Christ are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises God makes to him of blessings and divine favor, Reverend Kaywood said. Asked his interpretation of the appearance of three angels in the form of men in Genesis 18, Kaywood said one of them was the pure incarnate visitation of Jesus, because the other two left to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Jesus stayed with Abraham and Sarah for 1 to 3 days to remind them that a child from Abraham's own loins would soon become the child of promise, Isaac, from whom blessings would flow to all the nations of the world. These were big guys, very angelic-looking, he said. When you see someone with the supernatural, divine appearance of a spiritual being, you're going to know. Kaywood said the Bible doesn't identify the angels, but one was probably Gabriel, who often carried God's messages to men. This is a guest column by Dr. Jimmy Braswell, chaplain, Home Hospice. This is the day that the Lord has made. When I was in college at Hardin-Simmons University, we had chapel twice a week. All students were required to attend Tuesday and Thursday. Every chapel, the then president of the university, Elwin Skiles, would introduce chapel with his favorite Bible verse, Psalm chapter 18, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. He said it so often, I grew tired of it. I would be thinking, yeah, and you don't have a Greek test today. As I was able to get to know him better, even though I was a transfer and there was only 2 years, his grandfather had pastored the church where I had become their first student pastor. So we talked now and then. I asked him about that verse, and he taught me how to finally really believe in the sovereignty of God. We often say we Christians believe it, but I didn't at that time. He helped me to really believe that God is in charge of all things. The situations, troubles, goodnesses, joys, and tragedies of life are all stewardships from God. To really believe God is sovereign is to believe that what happens in my life is meant to happen and is a part of a planned journey for my life. Though I have the freedom to decide the attitude with which I approach all things, that attitude can change if I believe God is taking me somewhere with every event and happening. To find meaning and joy in the ups and downs, the joys and sorrows of my life, are a matter of my belief in the sovereignty of God over all those things. I don't have to jump for joy when difficulties and sadnesses come into my life, but I can trust that God is still with me, walking with me through those things, and is taking me somewhere good. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the obituary column, Saturday, February 1st, 2020. Velton Ray, V.R., Harry. Odessa. Velton Ray Harry, age 90, a long-term resident of Odessa, passed away on January 28, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Visitation will be Sunday, February 2, 2020, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held on Monday, February 3, at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with Aubrey Jones officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Mr. Harry was born in Seminole, Oklahoma, to Lawrence and Georgia Harry on August 10, 1929. Mr. Harry is preceded in death by his father, Lawrence, and Georgia Harry. His sisters, Sue Cohn, Betty Feist, and Barbara Smith, and his son, Kenneth Ray Harry. He is survived by his wife, Nell LeJune Harry, his children, Alan and Joy Harry, Daniel and Kathy Harry, and daughter, Deborah and Ron Thunenblick. His sisters, Kay Feist and Joy Harlan, 8 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Berta Pedroza Castro, Houston. Berta Pedroza Castro, age 68, passed away on Sunday, January 26, 2020, at MD Anderson Hospital in Houston, Texas, surrounded by her loving family. She was born on June 24, 1951, in San Angelo, Texas, to David and Mary R. Pedroza. Berta is preceded in death by her mother, Mary R. Pedroza, Little White Grandma. She is survived by her father, David Pedroza Sr., her husband of 52 years, Ernest Castro, her loving sons, Manuel, Mario, and Mike, her grandchildren, Julian, Veronica, Marianne, Mario, Mercedes, Teresa, and Sarah. Berta is also survived by 5 loving great-grandchildren, 9 siblings, 4 brothers and 5 sisters, along with brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law, numerous nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, and many other family members, including her extended church family. Visitation will be 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday, February 1st, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Monday, February 3rd, 2020, at Sherwood Baptist Church. To send family condolences, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Eddie Wayne Stevenson III. Odessa. Eddie Wayne Stevenson III, 63, of Odessa, died Wednesday, January 29, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Saturday, February 1st, 2020. This is Section A. The headline reads, Monday, last day to register to vote. Monday is the final day to register to vote in the March primaries. Voters in Ector County will decide 2 county commissioner races during the March GOP primary, as there are no Democratic challengers. Voters will also likely cull down the field of 10 in the District 11 congressional race for a May 26th runoff. Precinct 1 Ector County Commissioner Eddie Shelton faces Mike Gardner and Hoss Duggar for his seat. In Precinct 3, Jeff Russell faces Don Stringer for the retired Dale Childers slot. Gardner is a former Odessa City Councilman and the son of longtime commissioner, the late Freddie Gardner. Unopposed Republicans include State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Sheriff Mike Griffiths, Dusty Gallivan, who is leaving the county attorney's office to run for district attorney to replace the retiring Bobby Bland, and Greg Barber, who is running for county attorney. Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley of the 446th Judicial District is unopposed, as are Justin Lowe, seeking the 161st District Judgeship being vacated by the retiring John Smith, and County Tax Assessor-Collector Lindy Wright. The District 11 race began with long-serving Midland Congressman Mike Conaway's July 31st announcement that he would retire from the U.S. House of Representatives in Washington with the expiration of his current term. The general election will be on November 3rd this year. GOP candidates include Wesley Verdell of Brady, Robert Tucker of Comanche, Ned Luscombe of Gardendale, Gene Barber of Colorado City, J.D. Faircloth and J. Ross Lacey and Brandon Batch of Midland, Casey Gray and Jamie Berryhill Jr., both of Odessa, and August Pfluger of San Angelo. Democrat John Mark Hogg and Libertarian Wasey Alpha Cody, both of San Angelo, are unchallenged in the primary. Here are other important dates for this year's election. February 18th, early voting begins for the Texas primaries and ends 10 days later. Visit co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.elections for more information about Ector County voting. February 21st, final day to request a ballot to vote by mail in the primaries. February 28th, early voting ends. March 3rd, Election Day. April 27th, this is the last day to register to vote in the primary runoffs. Runoffs happen whenever a single candidate doesn't cross the 50% threshold in the March primary. The District 11 congressional race will most likely end in a runoff. May 15th, final day to request a ballot to vote by mail for the primary runoff. May 18th, early voting in the primary runoff begins. May 22nd, early voting in the primary runoff ends. May 26th, this is primary runoff election day, your last chance to have a say in who the Republicans or Democrats nominate in any races that went to a runoff. Make sure to show up at your local precinct unless your county is participating in countywide voting. You can find this out by checking your county's website. October 5th, final day to register to vote for the general election. October 19th, early voting begins. October 23rd, final day to request a ballot to vote by mail for the primary. October 30th, early voting ends. November 3rd, Election Day. This article is entitled "Permian Celebrates Arlo's Birthday" by Ruth Campbell. Arlo, Permian High School's celebrity therapy dog, celebrated his birthday Friday with cake for the humans, dog treats for himself, and a serenade of happy birthday by members of the Permian High School choir. Student Assistance Services Crisis Counselor Tina Caro said the campus has had Arlo for 1 year and a month. He turns four today, and he sees about 700 people a day, and about six in her office on a personal basis. "Since we've had him, about 30 have said that he saved their lives," Caro said, sitting on the floor with Arlo in a PHS hallway. Parents have even come to see Arlo this past week when more coverage about the August 31st mass shooting was in the news. A golden doodle, Arlo is hypoallergenic and isn't supposed to shed. He's supposed to be shed-free, but they really do give a little bit of fuzz, Caro said. He's very calm, even in the face of hundreds of students. "It really is his personality," Caro said. "He's super trained, so that helps a lot. He's not afraid of anything." Damian Christian, an 18-year-old senior, said Arlo is like a light. "I would say he definitely lights up everybody's faces, because definitely during the time of our shooting and everything, that's when you really saw his purpose, because everybody came into school that day just looking sad, and as soon as you see him, you just start smiling. He just makes you forget about everything and just makes you so happy," Christian said. He added that even football players and other athletes love Arlo. "You get football players and all these athletes that try to look all hard, and as soon as they see that dog, they just start talking to it like it's a baby, and they all start looking all soft. I just like seeing it because it brings the heart out of everybody." Principal Danny Gex said Caro came to him with the idea of getting a therapy dog last year and told him about the research behind it. He added that the students have bought into having Arlo on campus too, and it has made a difference in the atmosphere. "She did a lot of the legwork, but it sounded like a great idea. So I think obviously the research for animals and humans, and you see them at the cancer centers and rehab places, it brings out those good emotions if you're a dog lover or if you're an animal lover. I think it's been great," Gex said. "She's received calls from all over the district to take the dog to elementary schools when obviously somebody loses a loved one in a family. So it's been great. The kids love seeing Arlo. Most of them stop by and pet Arlo when they're going by. She brings him by to make sure I'm doing okay as well, once or twice a week. She's really good. She does a great job and she celebrates it. We had some parents do some donations for Arlo, so it's been fun."
Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, February 2nd, 2020. Section E, Culture. Jersey Girl. Texas actress makes her way back home with Jersey Boys tour. By Rich Lopez. JRLOPEZ at MRT.com. The story of the Four Seasons hadn't really been told before the Broadway musical Jersey Boys. In the 1960s, Frankie Valli, Bob Gaudio, Tommy DeVito, and Nick Massey were squeaky clean in the eyes of the press. But behind the scenes, the band was hardly the image it portrayed. More than just a review of Four Seasons songs, the Jersey Boys shows the rise and fall of the American band. Although the guys weren't short on their own drama, a few other characters step in to add to it. Enter Connor Lyon, who plays Lorraine. She's a reporter, but also one of the love interests and the only character not from Jersey. But she's also the only one not based on a real person, Lyon said. Jersey Boys will be on stage Wednesday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center as part of the Broadway in the Basin series. Lyon hails from the coastal city of Rockport and is on her first national tour with Jersey Boys. Since leaving for New York, I haven't performed in Texas. It's exciting to come back. I immediately feel at home whenever I just get into Texas, she said. Even if she's going to a part of the state, such as West Texas, where she has never ventured, it's like a whole other state. I forget how big Texas is, she said. Throughout the show, she plays up to six characters. One, a singer in the girl group The Angels, who tour with the Four Seasons in the musical. However, her role as Lorraine gave Lyon the opportunity to dive deeper. She's this career woman who came from a place with opportunities and education, and then she stumbles onto this love affair she didn't even seek out, she said. Lyon looked no further than her mother for inspiration. Growing up, she saw her mother pursue a career with drive and ambition. It was the perfect launching point for Lyon to develop Lorraine. She was very much how I pictured my mom being. I approach every character I play based on someone in my real life. It gives them more, I feel, Lyon said. Lyon recalls her mom being her first big fan by realizing her daughter had some talent. Lyon began ballet at six and was in her first musical, The Wizard of Oz, at age eight in a local high school production. After college at Sam Houston State, Lyon made her way to New York with the support of her family. My mom was great about everything. She drove me to recitals in Houston and Dallas and classes in Corpus Christi, but she also never pushed this on me, Lyon said. She just told me, live your dream, whatever that is. Lyon is doing just that, and right now what shocks her most is heading back to Texas for a stop in Corpus Christi. Not only will she be 45 minutes from home, but she'll be performing on a stage that she and her mother would drive to for shows. Now I get to perform on those stages that I looked up to, she said. I can't wait. Plus, I'm homesick, so I've already planned to go to Whataburger, Raising Cane's, Torchy's, and I hear there is some good Tex-Mex in Midland, Odessa. If you go, Jersey Boys, 7:30 p.m. Wednesday, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market Road, 1788, $57 to $97, BroadwayInTheBasin.com.
That's all for today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, a production of the Recording Library of West Texas. You can also hear this program anytime online at recordinglibrary.org or by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555.